Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory is right. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. If you cannot survive when we praise you, the God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high with all creation. Let faith be the song that claims the storm inside of me is right. Let it rise. Let faith arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. If you cannot survive when we praise you, the God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high with all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, that's right, come on, sing. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we oh. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. Oh. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. We'll see break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. If you cannot survive when we praise you, the God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high with all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh,
about his grace. Come on.
Amazing grace, amazing grace that far outweighs my past mistakes. Your death became the death of shame. I'll praise you for amazing grace.
Thank you for your grace. Yes. Yes, Lord.
From the grave into the dark, you called my name and brought me back to life again. I rose with you up from the grave.
Let's praise it.
We're so glad you're here. Thanks for joining Harvest Online. And if today is your first time joining us, we're extra glad that you're joining us today, that you chose that. And we'd love to know where you are worshiping with us from. So if you could let us know in the chat or in the text area, just let us know and so we can engage with you there. And then also, we want to invite, whether you're new or if you've been joining us every week, we want to invite you to let us know that you're here. You can do that through the Harvest app, through checking in, or you can do it online. So we'd love for you to check in just so that we can know that you were here today, but also we'd love to know how we can be praying for you for this week.
And I know you've been seeing all these video updates we've been sending out, as well as the multiple emails about the reopening of our campuses. So that actually started today. Rolling Meadows had their first service at 9 a.m. this morning, and so we're super excited for them. And then next weekend on September 20th, we have Elgin and Crystal Lake opening. And then the following weekend, we have our Cathedral and Aurora and Deerfield Road campuses opening. So please go to harvestnow.info And make sure you're checking out the details about your specific campus. Don't think about it as like we're just going back to what it used to be. No, there's a lot of things that are going to be a little bit different. But so make sure you go to harvestnow.info, find the information about your specific campus before you choose to attend. Now, I know some of us are ready to attend and some of us aren't. And as we've been saying, we love everyone in our church. We love everyone who's ready to attend and those who need to stay online. And so because there's not really a playbook for how to do ministry online for us, we're kind of discovering some of these things. So here's what we're gonna ask you to do. If you're gonna be staying online in this next season, we're gonna ask you to fill out an online survey. Again, go back to harvestnow.info to fill out this online survey. It takes about 5 minutes, and this is how you're going to be able to tell us how we can best care for you. We want to come up with new strategies, new teams, new volunteer teams, all these things to be able to connect with you, to be able to engage with you in ministry. We don't want you to feel alone, and so we got to come up with some new plans. And in order to come up with those plans, we need your help by filling out that survey. Now, maybe you're willing to fill out the survey, but even that would be a little bit of a technology hurdle for you. So here are two things we're doing to help you. If you could text us on your phone the word survey help to 797979, someone will get in touch with you and help you fill out that survey. Or you could just call the church number, which is 847-398-7005, then ask for extension 3424. And then someone there, leave a voicemail if no one answers. We're going to get back with you and we're going to help you fill out the survey because we really, really have a desire to minister to you.
For sure. And for those that are Harvest family, we want to just support you and help make it easy and, I don't know, accessible to you to be able to keep going with your faithful worship of the Lord through giving. And so there's four ways that you can do that, and we're going to have them on the screen. One is to do it online. Another is you can text to give. Another way would be through the Harvest app, which is where you would check in also. And then you can mail your gifts also to our Rolling Meadows campus, and the address is there for you. So now I'd love for you to grab your Bibles and then join us as we pray for the service now. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your patience with us and your steadfast love that is for us. Father, we're so thankful for the example that we have of the disciples and their heart to learn how to pray. And so, Father, we resonate with that heart and ask the same. Would you teach us to pray? Father, I pray over Pastor Ed now as he brings the word, Lord, and that you would just use him to be a faithful messenger, Lord, of ways that we can grow in this, that we can grow in an understanding of prayer and just the depth of the relationship with you that that can bring, Lord, as we understand the communion and the community that we have with you through being able to bring our burdens and our rejoicing everything to you. So, Lord, go before us. Have your way, Lord, in this and the following sermons, Lord, as we learn about prayer together. Father, we give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You want to sing all praise?
All praise. All praise. See, the old life is gone and the new has begun. Your name always, Jesus, you alone deserve all praise.
One more time, all praise.
All praise, all praise. See, the old life is gone and the new has begun. Jesus, you alone deserve all praise. You deserve all the praise.
Wherever you are right now, in your home, at a watch party, in the car, just turn up the volume. Give them the praise. Turn up the volume in that place.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will say,
come on, sing it out.
Are you Lord? Yes, all the earth will shout.
Father, you're worthy of this praise, all our praise. We ascribe these words, these songs to you. We ascribe this time to you. We offer it to you. We dedicate it to you. We intentionally lean in to praise and to receive your word spoken to us in spirit and truth. And through the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Is fellowship with the unseen and most holy one.
The powers of the eternal world have been placed at its disposal.
It is the very essence of true religion, the channel of all blessings, the secret of power and life.
Not only for ourselves, but for others.
For the church.
For the world.
It is to prayer that God has given the right to take hold of him and his strength.
Lord, it is just this we need to be taught.
Oh, teach us to pray.
I'm so glad that you've joined us today as we begin this new series, Teach Us to Pray. I'm Pastor Ed and have the privilege to be able to share with you on this weekend. And many of you have been joining us for several months, and you may remember where we began in January. We had a series called If Then, and we were looking at one single verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then and only then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. It sure seems like a long time since January. And it's interesting that prayer was at the central focus of our thinking. And then COVID-19 and so many other things rocked our world, and we began to free fall into crisis. As I talk with people all around our city and our church, there's great uncertainty. People are asking questions of God, and they're worried. They're concerned. They wonder if God hears their prayers, and frankly, God, why aren't you acting? If you are feeling that way or have felt that way at all, this series today is for you. I'm so glad that the Lord has led our elders to call our church to a place of prayer in this season. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to teach us how to pray. And so I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 as I go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to illuminate our hearts and our minds so that we can grow in prayer together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I pray, Lord, that you would forgive me from sin and any hindrance that would keep this word from going forth today. I pray that you would anoint me and my lips to be an oracle of truth, to encourage, convict, and then invite those to name you as their Savior. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I get into the text, as we talk about prayer, we probably should acknowledge an issue that maybe all of us wrestle with. When I think about prayer, to be honest, I have seasons of prayer where I feel like that my prayer life is really white hot. And the irony is that's when I'm in trouble. Maybe you can relate. When I sense that my back is against the wall and there's nowhere to go, it's amazing how quickly that I tune into what the Lord has for me and I pray. But it's not long after trouble departs that for me, sometimes, to be honest, I don't pray the way that I should. And so I want to ask you, as you think about your prayer life, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your prayer life today? No one has to know, just you and the Lord as you write that number down. What is your prayer life like? Well, C.S. Lewis shared his own thoughts in his book, Letters to Malcolm. He shared some discussions about prayer and maybe some obstacles to prayer. And I'd like to highlight four of them that I think that we could all connect with. One is just inattentiveness. An inattention because of busyness and life and work. And frankly, many of these things are legitimate. We have school and we have our families and we have jobs and businesses that we run. But we get into a pattern of busyness that keeps us from prayer. But the second thing is the wrong kind of attention. Luke chapter 10 gives us the model of Mary and Martha. Mary decided the right thing to be at the feet of Jesus, but Martha decided to be busy. She was so interested in the hospitality and the things that needed to get done that she missed the right opportunity of Jesus being right in front of her. The wrong attention. But there's a third obstacle to prayer that C.S. Lewis brought out, and it's greed. Greed. The desire for more. It's just never enough. We want more things. We want more money. We want more influence. We want more. We want more. And the question then becomes, how much is enough? And how does the pursuit of more keep us from prayer? But then he ends with the last one, the one that many of us would not dare to be honest and open about, is conceit. For many of us who've been walking with the Lord for a while, we can get in the place of being self-righteous. Why don't other people pray like me? Why don't other people have the faith and integrity that I have? If it wasn't for the Lord, where would I be? And we say these things, but deep in our heart, it reveals conceit. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for those words that C.S. Lewis shared, because I think we all could grow in the area of prayer. And Jesus shares some things in Matthew 6. And he starts right off the bat in the first verse. He gives the thesis, if you will, of the chapter, is that doing righteousness to God where he sees us, not where others see us, is the goal. Is that personal righteousness is about what we do to God, not what we do in the lives and hearts of others. And it leads us to our text. Let's go to it. We are in Matthew chapter 6. And I'm looking forward to opening up this word to you. Jesus begins and he says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you then, they have already had their reward. But when you pray, go to your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you." The passage continues in verse 7, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for the many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And then verse 9, where we'll be ending today, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The first point and takeaway that I'd like to leave with you today is that prayer is not about you. Prayer is not about you. And interesting, as you look at the repetition of the text, there are three things that Jesus says right off the bat. He says, when you pray. There's an assumption as a Christ follower that we will pray, that prayer is a part of our lives. He says it three times, when you pray. And when you pray, Don't be like a hypocrite. Hypocrite, literally defined there, is play-acting or role-playing, often wearing a mask so that you could not be seen, pretending to be someone that you really aren't. No one likes to admit to being a hypocrite. But Jesus doubled down in Luke 18, and he gave an example of what it's like to be a hypocrite and pray in this way publicly. I want to invite you to just run quickly to Luke 18, verse 9 through 14. I'm just going to read a little bit of this passage, and I want you to hear what Jesus says a hypocrite does. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Right there is a great definition, seeing yourself as righteous and treating others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector, and listen to what the Pharisee said standing by himself. He prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I can get." But look at the contrast of the tax collector standing afar off. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house, Jesus said, justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. See, Jesus was pointing out both in this chapter as well as our text today, that it was the condition of the heart and the reality of the behavior that the Pharisee had. He was hypocritical. His behavior and his mind drawing attention to himself. And the true meaning of prayer is not drawing our attention to ourselves. The true meaning of prayer is communion with God. It's intimacy. It's a conversation. It's not about you. It's about God and what he wants to share with us and what we share with him. The hypocrite desires to be seen by others, but Jesus gives us a great encouragement. Go back to the text. He says, "Truly I say to you, the hypocrite has already received his reward. But when you pray, go to a room and shut the door and pray to the Father in secret. And the Father who sees in secret, he will reward you." I'm so glad today that the Lord rewards our prayers. He sees the prayers that we have and we've been lifting up in secret. If you are praying and you are in a place of doubt, wondering whether God is actually hearing your prayers, let me be the first to tell you that God hears your prayers. God is not dead. He is very much alive. He hears what you're saying. And whether in this life or in the next, you will be rewarded for your prayers. But Jesus continues with a second don't, which leads us to the second point. Prayer must be sincere. Prayer must be sincere. Look at what he says in verse 7. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need to ask him." How powerful is this? That Jesus is warning the disciples, guys, don't be like the Gentiles. Don't use aimless words and repetition. It's not about being loquacious and eloquent. The definition here, literally translated, is endless babble, meaningless repetition. We don't pray as Christ followers in that manner because we think our prayers are earning some favor from God. We pray as Christ followers because we know that the Father merely wants to be in communion and relationship with us. Our sovereign God has made it that way that we would come to him and that we would ask, that we would petition him for what it is that we need. Newsflash, you're not informing God of anything when you pray. We're not informing God of anything that he doesn't already know. In his sovereignty, he already knows what we're going to ask. So the question then becomes, why, Pastor Ed, then should we pray? Why should we even lift up prayer? Well, prayer establishes our dependence on God. It's at that core place that we have intimacy with him, that we're acknowledging that we need him more than ourselves. So don't use a lot of extra words in your prayers. Maybe you're listening today and you're thinking, man, that's so encouraging because I don't know how to pray. I don't know what words to use. I actually don't pray because I feel like I don't have the words just right. Well, I want you to know that you're in good company, and Jesus is letting you know that it's not about just the words that you say. It's about the intent of your heart as you say them to him. It makes me think of my dad. We called him Daddy Ed Sr., and the picture of him and my late mother. And it makes me laugh when I think about it because Daddy, 1 year during Thanksgiving, decided that he would pray. And let's just say the prayer was not brief. I'm the oldest out of six, and my brother Jeremy was sitting at the table, and I remember looking out of the corner of my eye, and my dad began to pray, "Oh, Heavenly Father, great and mighty one, omniscient," and I'm just looking at Daddy, "Hey, Daddy, it's Thanksgiving. Mama's made some good food, and it's in my nose and my nostrils," and all of a sudden, I heard the plate and the fork. I looked down, and my five-year-old little brother, Jeremy, had decided that it was time for the prayer to end. And he was eating his food, and Daddy paused and said, "Jeremy, put your fork down. We're going to honor the Lord." It's become an infamous story. We laugh about it. Daddy continued to pray. I think he hit every month of the year and shared some things that God had done in our family. But we didn't have to pray that long. But the other part of it for me is I watched my dad. And I listened on the outside of the door at times where he prayed. I learned about depending on God in prayer by listening to what he would share in prayer to the Lord. And it leads me to the third point. In verse 9, prayer reveals my identity. Prayer reveals my identity. Jesus begins verse 9, and he says, pray like this. He didn't say that you had to pray exactly this prayer. He said, pray like this. Our Father. Let's not rush into the prayer and move past that because there are some profound theological nuggets that I want to just unpack where we look at our Father who is in heaven. He begins with the word our. It's not a singular prayer. It's not about individuals. It's a powerful embrace of community. Notice that the entire prayer is plural. It's our Father. Give us this day our daily bread later on that we'll see. But how could we even say that we are children of the Father? What a scandalous thing to say. As we are reading this prayer, how could we be called sons and daughters? Well, if you've been with us for the last several weeks, there's something that happened on the cross. Jesus and the atonement, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when he died for our sins, he made a way for us to be reconnected to the Father. This is a very serious point, and this prayer is not for everyone. This prayer is for anyone who has called on the name of Jesus Christ and made them his Lord and Savior, to you, you are a son and a daughter. It goes even further than this. I'm so glad for Dr. Al Mohler's teaching on this prayer, because he introduced a reminder and something I want to share with you, the doctrine of adoption. John chapter 1, verse 12 gives us a reminder. For all the theological students out there that are excited, you're going to be so happy to hear about this, but adoption is a powerful term in the Bible. John 1, 12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." But it didn't end there, my friends. I want you to turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the next passage. He ends up saying this and encouraging us in the scriptures. As we look at the continued flow of adoption, I thought about my own wife who's adopted, who reminds me of the joy of adoption. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 says, "He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved." And then Romans chapter 8, Paul so beautifully shares in verse 14 through 17, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified in him." It is because of that that we can call ourselves sons and daughters, our Father who is in heaven. It's not just a place, but God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He is good, and he is in all places. He's not just our Father. He's in heaven. And the text says, "Hallowed be thy name." Hallowed be thy name. What does that word mean, to be hallowed? I will tell you, in my studies this week, I'm so thankful for Dr. Van Lanningham and some others that have absolutely opened the ancient language in ways that I had never seen before. For years, I had read this, and hallowed, I looked at is just holy, that we are to worship the Lord, that he is holy. Hallowed means to feel reverence or to honor as holy, as to esteem as holy. But the word couldn't even be translated in the English because it doesn't fully bring to bear what really is being said here. And let me help us. When you look at this, it is the third person imperative in the Greek. And this is what it is. This is not just an aimless beginning or a comment. This is actually a pleading. Jesus is saying, when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," that we are asking and we are imploring, "Lord, let your glory be shown in the earth. Let your glory be shown not just through me or through our church. Let your glory and your name would be raised throughout this city, throughout your people, that we, Lord Jesus, would see your name lifted high." Luther puts it this way, that God be glorified among all nations as you are glorified in us. It's a request, a desperate request, that God in his glory, his power would be shown. I love this quote by John Calvin. as he highlights how he was reflecting on this, how it goes to the matter of gratitude in the heart. What is more unworthy than for God's glory to be obscured partly by our ungratefulness? To hallow God's name is not merely to live in righteousness. It's not just to merely live in righteous lives, but to have a heart of grateful joy toward God, and even more, a wondrous sense of his beauty. We do not revere his name unless he captivates us with wonderment for him. I have a question to ask you, Harvest, and all of those that are joining us. When is the last time that you saw the wonderment of God? When's the last time that you saw God high and lifted up, where you were amazed at what he did? God, through his son Jesus, is teaching us how to pray. And he's teaching us that it is the condition of our heart that matters, and it leads us to our truth. God is more focused on the intent and the condition of our hearts more than he is the posture or the presentation of our prayers. God is more concerned with your heart, the intent and the condition of it, not just the posture and the presentation of our prayers. We're reminded of it in an Old Testament prophet named Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a minor prophet that we don't know a lot about. The book is actually very short. And he had a lot of the same questions to the Lord. Why, Lord, do you seem not to respond to our prayers? Why, Lord, do you allow your people to be ran over and mistreated by people who are far from you? And God opens his mouth and answers the questions of Habakkuk. In verse 3, it's 2. Verse 3, chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, O Lord, I've heard the report of you. I've heard of your work. And O Lord, do I fear in the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known in wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk was pleading and asking the Lord Jesus, would you in our day, the NIV says, make your name famous, that we desire to see your name high and lifted up above all names, that at the name of Jesus Christ, that every knee indeed will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I personally saw the Lord high and lifted up recently, 3 weeks ago. It was at the cathedral campus, and we had an outdoor worship service. And as I close, I want to leave you with this story. There's a picture on the screen of our worship team worshiping the Lord Jesus. And what I saw in that moment, as they were singing, Great Are You, Lord, behind them, along the fence, was lined people who had come out of their houses to be able to listen to the songs of worship that were being sung. The worship leader, Kim, that is there, she was sharing how her sister had died of COVID 2 weeks prior, and she couldn't even go to the funeral. At the time that she shared that, behind me, a woman began to shout, and she said, my brother died too. And she began to weep. The worship team stopped singing and began to go over and lay hands on the woman who was by the fence, proclaiming the grace and glory of God over her life and interceding in prayer. But another man was there. His name was Armand. And I had an opportunity to be able to talk with him earlier in the service. He had his dog, and the Lord had brought him to himself just a few years ago. And his hand was on the woman as they prayed and lifted up the Lord. I wonder, Harvest,
Are we praying as we regather that God's name would be lifted high? Are we praying that the Lord Jesus would be high and lifted up, that his name would be above all names, and he would use us to bring glory to himself? I want to invite us this week to pray together in this way. There are a few psalms that I've listed on the screen, psalms of ascription that we can pray to the Lord. And I want to invite you this week to pray those prayers each day for the next 5 days. And here's what we're going to do. I want to invite you to choose one of those prayers and first read it. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to write it out. Just write out that prayer every day. And then the third thing that I want you to do is pray that prayer to the Lord. Together as a church, this week we want to ascribe glory to the Lord. And I want to remind you again of our truth this week, that God is not in any way concerned with how we pray. He's not concerned about being loquacious and being seen. But our truth reminds us that God is concerned with the intent and the posture of our heart. And I want us this week to ask the Lord to teach us to pray.
I choose to pray to glorify, glorify the name of all names, that nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names, that nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, yes, to glorify, glorify the name of all.
Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And that's what we've sung to him today. We're the ones who are choosing to praise that name. I'm so glad you were able to join us today. Hope to see you next week. We'll be right back here on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. You are loved.